Okay, so I came upon a discussion on progressive Vaishnavism on Facebook about whether women should take, be allowed to take sannyas and be gurus or not. And there were some older men there who wrote something, spoke something that, of course, not giving quotes where Prabhupada, well, basically said so. I mean, so what can I say? I just saw what I read and Papa said what he said. So how to, but then, you know, again, it goes completely against what is acceptable and respected in modern societies, at least here in the West. I mean, and you've got Iran, and I don't even know how it is in India. But how to handle it? On one side, you've got, and I guess you can't just deny it, certain instructions from Prabhupada that put women in a position that that sounds a bit archaic. So, but on the other hand, we should be faithful to Prabhupada, and create this movement, or maintain or develop his movement according to how he wanted it, right? So what to do? Well, there is Vedic society and all that, and there is, well, Prabhupada did of course not create a Vedic society, but a society for Krishna consciousness. And I think in there lies the first clue, at least to me, for how to solve this. What is this Krishna conscious society about in a nutshell? What's the purpose? If you had to just strip away everything else and still keep that which would fulfill that purpose and make Prabhupada happy, what would it be? Well, he clearly explained that himself in lectures and in the Nectar of Devotion, where he quotes that famous verse there by Rupa Goswami, that just always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna. And I know when I've been quoting that as Krishna consciousness in a nutshell, it often seems that devotees kind of don't notice it or think of it or consider it or even take it seriously. I don't know. But Prabhupada very clearly explains their Nectar Devotion, and I'll read it. Read it there. That this is the most important principle in bhakti and Krishna consciousness, and the principle that includes all other principles. Now, isn't it completely logical too, right? Because this movement is all about being Krishna conscious. And whatever Prabhupada said here or there or wrote regarding how to conduct life in this material society, in this material world, this simple instruction overrules them all. So rather than being just some basics, as someone said about this verse, I think it's crucial, it's important, it's major. it's really the core and active ingredient in this entire movement. Do you agree with me on that? Well, if not, then just consider. Bhakti is all about surrendering to Krishna, right? Man mano bhava mad bhakto, always think of me, and so on. It's just there, it's just clear. And you got these six principles of surrender. They're also all about thinking of Krishna, putting our mind and heart at the lotus feet of Krishna all the time. By always being Krishna conscious, and even the very word there, the name that Prabhupada gave his movement, contains that. It's about being conscious of Krishna. So, I presume that you are now agreeing on that. And to me, it kind of just solves it. But I guess it doesn't for everyone. So let's take this example, which is just one among many, or a few, of women being allowed to take sannyas and be gurus, or not. Well, again, I say, let's try and follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, while at the same time make things work socially so that as many of us as possible feel inspired to become Krishna conscious and be together, helping each other to be Krishna conscious and to promote the Sankirtan movement, right? So, what then would be a wise way to deal with this women guru sannyas issue? Well, you may remember that Srila Prabhupada said that he wanted to stop giving sannyas. He said it emphatically, I will not give sannyas anymore, it's ridiculous, because he could see so clearly that the people of this age, in the West especially, are not qualified for that, are not able to do that, it becomes a joke. So I sometimes wonder, to be frank, why, since that joke has, well, actually become even bigger since then, and many devotees, to be honest, do not take that sannyas thing very seriously anymore. Too many have just come and gone. We rather respect a person based on that person's personal qualities, and that should be quite enough. Ability of a person to inspire others to be Krishna conscious. Again, that most important principle of them all. So why discuss if women should be able to take sannyas or not? Why not rather discuss if men or anyone should be allowed to take sannyas in ISKCON? And by following Prabhupada's own instructions in that matter, namely to stop this sannyas business, the problem will be solved. So, I mean, I think that many of these problems have appeared because of a lack of focus and intelligence in understanding what Prabhupada actually said and wanted. And thus an emphasis on things that are of secondary importance, really. And what do I mean with secondary importance? Well, first of all, that means that the primary importance is what I just said, being Krishna conscious somehow or other. And the secondary importance is the material society, the way we function socially. the way we maintain our life in this material world, that may vary. But no matter what situation one is in, as far as a material life society goes, one can always be Krishna conscious. Before Prabhupada went to the West, the Indians may have thought you can never be Krishna conscious over there in the Mlecha countries. But he proved them wrong, which is just according to the Vaishnava Siddhanta. And according to that important principle of Rupa Goswami. So, then his young disciples after Prabhupada left, they made a bunch of big blunders, I would say. One of them, to rather than follow his desire to stop that sannyas, they started giving each other sannyas and becoming like celebrities, a strange form of sannyas that developed. And I don't know if anyone, when I say this, can see what I mean and agree with me, but just think, a sannyasi is one who commits spiritual suicide, social suicide. And it's just depending on Krishna and nothing else, no one else. Walking around begging or whatever, living on donations. Not institutionalized on some perpetual welfare with comfortable apartments and servants and all of that. And also, which I think may be the most critical there, dependent on an organization that may or may not be Brahminically controlled, and having to be politically and religiously correct according to what's valid at the time, even if they themselves, by their own conviction, see something else as a truth. So, anyway, that would be a solution to this problem, namely just skip this sannyas business altogether. And one may say that, well, first of all, there may be resistance because those who are sannyasis wouldn't like that. Just become ordinary devotees again. But, you know, many of us ordinary devotees can testify that well, myself included, stepping out into the harsh world out there at age 44, no education, no working experience, no nothing. And saying now at age 67, that Krishna took care of me. Krishna takes care of us. So to just step out in the world and having nothing else than Krishna to rely upon, it's healthy. It may seem hard, and sometimes it is, but that hardness forces you to really depend on and surrender to Krishna on a new level. Sometimes you may do it as sitting on a big Vyasasan. Sometimes you may do it by just being an ordinary devotee doing some ordinary humble service. Because it's, again, just about being Krishna conscious and surrendering to Krishna, and all the other positions and this and that social stuff doesn't really matter. And another doubt may be that, well, Prabhupada, he wanted to create sannyasi so that the movement will be respected in India, because in India they respect sannyasis. It seemed like that's what everybody did, every spiritual group in India. You must have your Swamijis, otherwise who cares about you? But I think we are past the point now when that respect, you know, if it is false respect, it will gradually crumble and become weaker. And again, I think we have to admit that such respect may not be there anymore. Rather, I would say, ISKCON would be respected more, especially by the members, by us, if there is honesty, humility, low profile, low key, but focused again on that basic core of just being Krishna conscious, chanting Hare Krishna, serving Krishna together, doing these blissful activities that we did in the past and which of course are going on now also. Distributing prasadam and books and festivals and this and that, with Krishna in the center, and that's enough. Even if we are just all looking the same, not having any titles, any graces and divines and holy persons stuff there, but simply us. And the holiness and the grace and all that is then something that we will find some people, some devotees are naturally endowed with and manifesting. And then natural, special, extra respect will develop to such people who really earn it and deserve it. And they don't need any special costume or whatever, uniform or title. So I can't see any harm at all in following Prabhupada's example and instruction, stopping this sannyas altogether, and then we also have the solution to the "can women give sannyasa or not" question. Now, about the guru issue, well, I've read pretty much through the years about, and many of us, about what Prabhupada wanted when he left, about the guru question, what shall happen after Prabhupada leaves, and what they did, and how it turned out wrong. It was a big mistake committed there. And I think and hope that most now would agree on that. It probably, most probably, would have made much more sense to do as Swarup Damodar then suggested, properly, if that we should mourn for 5 years, not step up on Vyasa's sons and all that, but just humbly serving and respecting and mourning Prabhupada. Not about all of a sudden bunch sitting there shining on big Vyasa's sons, almost like Prabhupada himself. And that probably would have sold it. And regarding the instructions that Prabhupada gave, he didn't appoint 11 people to be acharyas like that. If you disagree with me, you do. But he rather said, nothing much. He gave very vague instructions, and I think he did so on purpose, because he didn't see any of his disciples being some uttama adhikari, pure devotee, paramahamsa, like that, which a guru really should be in order to be qualified. But he did say, and some, even at that time, some of the leaders in 78, beginning there, when they should decide what to do, they saw that and argued for that. He said that you can be a Madhyama Adhikari also and be a guru. And I think he used that expression, they will be ordinary gurus or regular gurus or something like that. Which indicates, because if a Madhyamakari can be guru, it means there are two different kinds of gurus. There are the acharya uttamadhikari, fully enlightened gurus, and then there are the regular gurus, the ordinary gurus, the Madhyamadhikari gurus, those devotees who have strong faith and who are learned and who are able to guide neophytes up to their level, whatever it is, but at least that much. So, which means, of course, that to such gurus, you can't expect that respect as person, perfect absolute truth, perfect people, God's representative on earth in that absolute sense. It's just because that's the Uttamadhikari. Rather, you simply respect them for what they are. And when a guru speaks Krishna's words and the instructions of the Siddhanta, the Parampara, then that is absolute knowledge. And that's fine. So, it seems there that Prabhupada and again I think others saw that just thought wanted the devotees to go on the way they were, just together serving Krishna and serving Prabhupada, and those who are more knowledgeable and fixed up, as we said, can teach others. Now, whether you want to call that being guru with a capital G and all this, is again not so relevant, because again it's about inspiring others to be Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada also emphasized much more shiksha than diksha. Diksha is more of a ritual, a confirmation that a disciple or devotee has now dedicated her or his life to the service of Krishna and to following that disciplic succession. But that decision, that rests upon the desire and decision of the disciple, not upon some magic ritual. And Prabhupada even sometimes translates diksha in the Bhagavatam. I read, I think it was, as instruction, giving instructions, teaching. Of course, that's what guru is, right? Not like some electric wall outlet where you plug yourself in order to be connected to Krishna. That is a metaphor which means that by following the instructions and practicing Krishna consciousness like that, you will be connected to Krishna. And of course, by serving other devotees, including, of course, your guru. That's what we want to do. Vaishnava Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. So, again, by following the principle that I suggest we should follow, just being real about things. Who are we really? Are we, any of us, in ISKCON and Vaishnavas, devotees on the planet today? At all on a level where we could appear as the great sages and saints and gurus and swamis and all that of the past, even at the time of Srila Prabhupada. I would say the reality here is that we are on a much, much lower level. So therefore, by just accepting that fact and adjusting our whole concept of this guruship to our real level, it would be something like that. Madhyamadhikari, meaning somebody who knows pretty well about Krishna and is fixed up in devotional service, can help others to get to that point as well. You don't need big Vyasa sons and big rituals and all of that, or Guru Dakshin and a lot of money involved and power and respect above anything, because that also is risky. It tends to attract devotees to want to be gurus for fame, profit, and distinction. And again, I think that history now has proven to us that not many of us are above that, or should be by default or by designation or appointment. Thought to be that. So again, just becoming real and focusing on what is really about Krishna conscious activities and Krishna consciousness, and everything will be fine. And if some think that this would make ISKCON fall to pieces and disintegrate, I think others can see with me that it probably would strengthen ISKCON. It would develop friendly, realistic relationships between devotees. Not that those who are more qualified and learned and all that all of a sudden take on this Superman or woman garb and name and position and sail away up into the ideal world. Where you can hardly reach them. While others who might be as much or even more devoted and pure-hearted and sincere in their service go unnoticed. Maybe are even disrespected. So, well, I started out this by asking myself also that question, how to handle this kind of dichotomy that seems to plague ISKCON there, but where you have the Taliban kind of old men on one side there, looking very stern and quoting Prabhupada verses. And then on the other side, you have all the ordinary devotees, more or less, the women and the kids and hard-working devotees struggling to maintain their families and their lives in this crazy world. And the reason I'm speaking like this, I'm not claiming here to give some absolute truth either, but you're very welcome to disagree or comment down here. I'm simply saying this because I want to see this Krishna conscious movement flourish and be a movement for the devotees, that the devotees being happy, and that it does the work it's supposed to do to bring devotees together and help them support each other in developing Krishna consciousness. And I have a vision how this can happen and which way to go. And I suggest it's somewhere along this line. And please mark, and I'm saying that, and you can try and challenge that if you want down here, that whatever I've said here and suggested is based on Srila Prabhupada's own instructions and teachings. It would mean actually following his instructions. But in this case, breaking with certain practices and standards and ideas that have actually developed later outside of those instructions. Sometimes by cherry picking verses here and there, it's easy to do always, but so it requires a bit of work there of our puny intelligence here, Kali Yuga intelligence, to extract and find the essence, the most important. And again, therefore, I'm returning to this, as Prabhupada said, the principle above all other principle is to always just think of Krishna, being Krishna conscious. So, thank you, Hare Krishna.